What is the structure of the agency of the future? What business model makes the most sense for your firm? Should you move to a consulting model, blend a consulting practice with typical agency execution work, or create two entirely different businesses? With changes in the market, like new economic conditions and the rise of AI, these are questions you've probably asked yourself lately. While it'll be up to you to answer these for your specific situation, my conversation with Bob Ruffalo, CEO of Impact, a marketing and sales training company and a very early HubSpot partner, will definitely give you some food for thought on these questions. You see, they merged with Marcus Sheridan's firm, The Sales Lion, in 2018, and they've taken a unique approach to housing multiple business units, both consulting and agency practices, under one roof. They've also recently been recognized for outperforming their HubSpot partner peers in several key areas, including website sessions, blog articles posted, landing pages, closed won deals, and sales cycle length, landing in the 93rd percentile in many of these key categories, according to some Databox benchmark group data. In addition to unpacking the lessons from their journey, in my conversation with Bob, you'll hear why their consulting side of the business has grown to be the lion's share of their revenue, and what components you need to think about if you want to carve out your own consulting practice within your agency and how to actually do it successfully. If you stick around to the end, you'll hear Bob's surprising learning about a strategy they thought was going to be primarily a new business driver, but has ended up increasing retention and making their consultants overall much more efficient. All right, let's hear from Bob about the season their agency was hitting a growth plateau, and they started to consider the merger that changed the course of their agency for the better.
You know, if I were to even take it back to 2015, like most agencies, we were a revolving door of both talent and of clients. And that's something that had to be fixed. You know, obviously, like many agency owners and myself, I never ran a business that was, you know, $1 million before. I had no idea what I was doing. I was ahead of my skis. I was figuring everything out as I went. And in 2015, we really started getting, you know, we said we're going to attack the people side first. We got to stop being such a rotating door of employees. We've got to be a place where people want to stay, want to grow. They could see their future at Impact. That was actually the big saying for a few years, that people need to see their future here at Impact. We went through culture exercises, get our values right, get our mission right, get our compensation model right, get our management team right. And that's just been a long evolution. So once we got the people side right, it was still, we still were churning customers. You know, we were not turning over our people, which led to a lot of customer churn. But now it's still like many agencies, you know, we're constantly in that fight of trying to retain business. Clients were, you know, always asking, like, things weren't going right. Where are our leads? I'm paying you for leads. It's just our people were getting beat up, even though they're like saying, we love the company, but we don't like the work. Something needed to change. So being that I was in the HubSpot space, there's a very influential person in the space, had his own agency in the partner community, but was much more known for his book and his speaking. And I'm talking about Marcus Sheridan. And if you are in the HubSpot space, inbound marketing, you probably knew who he was. He was, you know, big personality, big speaker. When I was listening to him talk to audiences and hear his model and his philosophy and the framework that he preached of they ask, you answer, he's showing these success stories. And they're not like rinky-dink success stories. I mean, these are monstrous, like the promise of inbound marketing coming to life, one after another, after another, after another. I'm sitting there like, this guy is just an incredible speaker, owns the room, doing great work. And, you know, the kicker was part of the story when these companies were coming to him and asking, can you help me do my inbound marketing? He said, sure, I'm not going to do it for you. You're going to do it. I'll just teach you how to do it. So a lot of light bulbs went off. Around that time, Logan, we were also starting to do a lot more with events. We had just done our first conference of 100 people. The next year, we were doing 200 people. And we recruited Marcus to be the keynote speaker. Going through the process, and the day of the event, you know, I went up to Marcus and I said, would you have any interest in merging our companies together? So he was like, I'll think about it. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And eventually, you know, he was like, you know what, let's do this. Marcus wanted to be out there speaking. He wanted to be writing. He wanted to be influencing people. he didn't want to grow his business. So at the time he had 3 or 4 employees, he had no aspirations to grow past that. And I'm like, you know, if I had Marcus, I had these awesome employees, we had this model, tying it with the 30-person firm we had and the brand reputation we had, we could do something special here. And that's really how the merger came together. Freed Marcus up to be the best Marcus he needed to be. And it gave me something that I could be proud of. Now that I have a great culture, a great team. Now we have a great product and something we could really scale. And it was exciting. And that really rejuvenated everything we did at Impact.
I love that you brought the success stories that Marcus shared. Like, a lot of people know his framework, but, you know, he's been speaking and doing so many things these days. People might forget he's got his own success story, which is, you know, his, I think it was a pool business, right? That he scaled through inbound marketing and started to, you know, see the light bulbs go off. He wasn't kind of one of those marketer who came from marketing to marketers, right? Like, he did it for a business that, you know, most people would think, oh, I don't even think about that. Like, what's a pool business? What's that market like? What's it like to market those sorts of services and products? And I love how you said, you know, you just went up to him at the event and was like, hey, you know, would you even entertain this? I imagine there were also some questions with you and the rest of the leadership team at Impact of, like, even before approaching him and thinking, like, how could we merge with another entity? How could we bring in a big personality? And how could we take a framework that Marcus had developed and our reputation at Impact? Like, what were some of the things that you guys weighed? And what were some of the things that ultimately led you to at least start that conversation? Because I think that's important too, the decision there. And then we'll get to, what has it looked like? How has that helped you grow and that sort of stuff? But I'd love to hear a little bit more on that backstory too.
We knew that inbound marketing, the way we were offering services, was becoming less and less effective as the years went on. We knew our staff were not enjoying the work. They just were not enjoying, you know, the client meetings and the style of work. And I was constantly always on the lookout for something, whether you try to create my own thing, whether it be a framework or something, we're always on the lookout. We had done some merger and acquisition work. You know, part of where we were thinking was that we needed more experience inside the organization of people that have done this before, whether inside the agency world or just business leadership. So we were playing around with that, learning as we went. You know, and I think when Marcus came around, it was just, there was something really, really special there. And I just, you know, you salivate thinking about, like, imagine if we had our own Gary Vaynerchuk, right? If we had our own person that can go out there and be the figurehead, because I don't mind being out speaking and stuff, but where I really enjoy is growing the business. I love developing leaders and growing people and strategically thinking about the business. I'm much more like that now than I probably was back in 2018. But that's also the role I said, okay, this is the role I'm going to play in this and let Marcus be the face of the company, let him be the brand. So I think it was just all around improvement. Like, we, you know, and I think that's probably the biggest piece of advice is, you know, we never looked at Impact and thought we were great. We had a reputation that we are great because of our HubSpot status and the way HubSpot felt about us and the following that we had, more from marketers that loved our content and wanted to engage with our people and the people we brought inside the company. We're never okay with where we were. We always want to get better and better. We still do. We still want to just continue to be as great as we possibly can. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway is never rest. Never think that you made it, because there's always somebody else that's coming up behind you. You know, so I think that's where we were at.
Or AI that's coming up behind us, as you and I were just talking about earlier today, right? You were mentioning there's takeaways for other agencies to think about, you know, what's the next stage of their growth. There's always someone, you know, coming at your heels. And now we've got AI coming at our heels or at our backs, as you and I were just talking about earlier today, actually. Most other agencies aren't going to be able to go grab Marcus Sheridan, obviously, or even someone, you know, at that level. But as I've heard you talk about, there was bringing in a big personality, but then there was also leveraging a framework and using that as the crux of your differentiation. So tell me a little bit about how this turning point changed things at Impact, and then what is repeatable, if anything, for other agencies in this turning point and the growth that you guys have experienced since then?
Not knowing it at the time, and I think now in retrospect, looking back at it, having that framework, something that's so easy to communicate and makes people have those aha moments, is what makes the model work. So for example, we do a lot of work with businesses that are not SaaS. We don't have like Nike as a customer. We don't have the big SaaS companies as customers. A lot of our customers tend to be those organizations that maybe are a little bit behind on digital. They tend to be blue collar type businesses. Obviously Marcus, like we already mentioned, comes straight out of the pool industry. So obviously his story resonates with that audience. We've had manufacturers, we have other types of home installation, construction companies, other types of companies that just tend to ignore digital, and they never got it. They never understood it. And they've always been pitched like the techie stuff that a lot of agencies will come in with and all the capabilities of what a HubSpot could do, whatever it is. And the beauty of they ask, you answer, and certainly other frameworks like EOS or Scaling Up or StoryBrand, it takes these complex things like, oh my God, we got to do digital marketing, and breaks it down into something that's so simple and easy to understand. When Marcus was first starting the sales line, his original company, he would go to these Vistage groups and he'd present in front of these CEOs. And again, a lot of them have ignored digital. He would bring the value proposition, he'd talk through the principles that they ask, you answer, and the light bulbs would just go off and people would sit there and be like, this is the missing piece. This is the stuff that we never understood. Now we finally get it. And then it was natural to transition to, let's teach your company how to do this and do it right. And I think most agencies know they have to have something. It's hard to find something unique. I think we've been very lucky that we have a framework that Marcus came up with that we can use with every single client. People understand it. It's easy to understand, easy, relatively simple to do. It's hard to put it all in practice without good coaching.
Something that you mentioned there, not everybody, as we said, has Marcus or a framework that's as, you know, known far and wide in marketing. But I think there are ways that are unique to your agency in the way that you work with clients, in the way that you execute a given channel, in the way that you go about understanding their market, or the way that you work with folks in certain industries, right? You mentioned you guys work with manufacturers and a lot of blue collar companies versus another agency who might exclusively work with SaaS brands. There are repeatable things that I think oftentimes we have blinders on, and it's the curse of knowledge. We don't realize like, hey, we do this a little bit differently, right? And packaging that up and putting it into a framework, even if it's not in a book like Marcus did, you can say, this is the way that we work, and taking the time to, one, recognize kind of that institutional knowledge, to package it up, kind of do some marketing work on that, to make it into a framework, and then start communicating that to your clients. I think it can be very powerful, even if you don't go through a big merger like you guys did, or, you know, have a book and a well-known framework out there. There are little things that you're doing that can be those frameworks that you start to talk about them as a framework. This is our formula. This is our methodology. This is our framework, as opposed to, well, what do you guys do next? Well, we do this and that and this and that. It's a slight tweak, but I think it can make a big, big difference. You know, for you guys, it has led to two distinct parts of the business that actually came under one roof, which, as you mentioned, wasn't necessarily what you guys were thinking from the onset. So tell me a little bit about that development of the agency offerings, the marketing execution, the day-to-day tactical stuff with the consulting offerings. What was surprising and what led to kind of bringing those under one roof? And then we can talk about kind of the tactics of, if you are bringing more consulting services in, how can you manage those? You guys have an interesting setup with your business structure with squads, but tell me a little bit about bringing those under one roof when that wasn't necessarily the idea at the onset.
Yeah, it wasn't the idea. I mean, the original idea was, you know, clients are going to come in, they're either going to want us to do it for them, or they're going to want help doing it. So Marcus never had interest in doing it for his clients. So we ran them as two individual teams. We had our training and consulting division. We had our agency. And very shortly, probably within 3 or 4 months, we realized one area was extremely profitable. The clients were extremely happy. The employees were extremely happy. That's where all the success stories were coming from. You know, we had one coach on that side of the business who's working with 25 clients, happy as a clam. The other side of the business, constant frustration from clients, putting pressure on our people. So our people were constantly frustrated. The work wasn't great, no success stories, and that was very thin margins. So we really quickly made that decision. We got to switch all these clients over to this model. It didn't happen overnight. We slowly but surely said, we're going to stop doing this service. We're going to stop doing this service. Shut out as much as we possibly could. We had to say goodbye to some clients that we didn't want to say goodbye to. But other ones, we were able to educate and show them there was a better way. Started getting their agreements converted over to a different model. And then the challenge was also getting the talent to develop new skills. When you're talking about agency people, they tend to fall back into agency habits. What makes a consulting model work is that you're holding the clients accountable for their own work. You're a coach. You're challenging them. You're pushing them. You're making them better. When, you know, what we were seeing is when you are an account manager and you put yourself in this more passive seat, the clients start dictating the terms of relationship. They start taking over and say, okay, well, why don't you do this and I'll do that? Typical agency person would say, yeah, well, no problem. I'll do that for you. And I'll send you an agenda. I'll do this. Now, all of a sudden, you're right back into that agency relationship and the client's not getting what they're expecting and it doesn't work. So it took a long time. It really took probably 3 or 4 years to really convert and get completely out of the traditional agency model and get 100% into the consulting business. But now that's the main driver of profitability for the entire company.
Yeah.
And that's the business that we're scaling.
So we'll get into kind of how you guys are scaling that and the squad structure and those sorts of things. But what you just said there, Bob, brought two questions to mind. One, you know, there's kind of the old adage, consultants are like pigeons. They fly in, they dump on stuff, and then they fly away, right? And so you're telling me that your clients were happier, it's more profitable, you've got better results to show for the work that you're doing. So like, where do you think that disconnect comes from in kind of the typical view of consultants that maybe we have as agency folks, and we think our clients have, or maybe they do at times, versus you're saying, hey, the consulting work is working. It's working better for the clients. Folks on the team are happier. We're driving better results. So what's driving that disconnect, or maybe what are we misunderstanding there about the nature of consulting work?
We've got the luxury that this framework now and this model has been time tested. So we can really trust the process when we go in with clients because we've done all the trial and error already. We know, okay, well, if we do this part, this will work and this client will be, you know, things will go the way it's supposed to. If we skip this part, it's not going to set the right relationship. So we can be very process oriented with the way we come in. Now, our model is that we come in for 18 months. We stay with you hand in hand. We're holding you accountable as senior leadership. We're holding you accountable as the staff that's doing the work and making sure that the right things are happening at the right times. So instead of just consulting and coming and saying, okay, here's all of our ideas, here's our strategy, you go implement it, and then we leave, right? Like you're talking about and just come in and dump in. It's much more of a, just like EOS, this is the process that we're going to follow. If you're not willing to follow this process, it's not going to work for you. And, you know, we will end relationships early if that's the case, if the client's not going to do their work. We're not going to let them just keep paying their bills and, you know, and just be more frustrated down the road when it didn't work. That's pretty rare, luckily, at this point. But we have to come in and follow the process. And when we follow the process the way it's supposed to, the results come.
I love that. So I guess advice for agency leaders who are listening to this from what I just heard you say was, one, if you're going to dip your toe in the water or start wading into consulting work, you've got to think about longer term commitments in those sorts of engagements. You mentioned 18 months is somewhat of a standard for you guys. Relying on what's worked. So don't just think you can jump into consulting on something that you haven't delivered on the agency side for a good bit. So that might be, you know, number two. And then third, you've got to take a position as a team and equip your people to focus on holding clients accountable. So if you don't have that sort of skill set, that sort of talent on the team, then that might be a piece that you need to figure out how to check that box before you start launching a line of consulting services, right?
And Logan, that's difficult. That does not happen overnight. Most people are not born being gifted world-class communicators, especially communicators that can influence clients, tough clients, CEOs. It's become a core value, core competency of Impact to be radically candid in our communication style. We spend more time training our entire staff on communication principles than on anything else. We do more role plays than anything else. We practice every call. Marcus has a saying that we practice on ourselves before we practice on our clients. It takes a long time. Even somebody that comes in as a seasoned professional in our organization, you know, we can spend 6 months to a year before they are really effective in their role. And that's just role play after role play after role play until they finally get it. Now, Marcus is just a master communicator. He's put so much work into it. So now everyone that's in this coaching seat or this trainer seat is learning from him, practicing from him. And over time, you're right, that the communication style is what makes the model work as well.
Man, this conversation is just getting better and better as we go, because you took the next question out of my mouth. Is like, then how does that impact your talent development, right? Because not everyone can take that authoritative stance and push back, especially, you know, if they're younger in their career and they're facing maybe an intimidating type A CEO who's saying, give me, I'm not yielding. This is what I'm used to. So maybe just one more question on this, since you already answered my first question that was coming. Good job, by the way. What are some of the things that you guys look for now that are high on the priority list as you're looking to attract and bring in the right talent who can step into those roles? And maybe what are some of the tools or resources that you recommend, you know, that they're consuming, whether that's books or courses or things that you guys have developed or outside? Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned we were doing some M&A 2016, 2017, obviously up into the Marcus merger. And the idea was that we need to bring more experienced agency people in to help us decide what we're going to be doing. I think that's a common thing you see, especially in the HubSpot space. A lot of people go from HubSpot agency to HubSpot agency. You look at their resumes and LinkedIn's like, they've been to all of them. They've been SmartBug and then New Breed and Impact and Square 2, whatever. They've been to all of them. And that worked for us and got us to a certain point. But now today, it is very different. In our interview process, we immediately start doing role plays. We're testing for a lot of different things in role plays. One, you know, when we're giving the education ahead, we're seeing how well they can absorb new material and then to be able to turn around and teach it in a role play. Obviously, we're seeing how well they communicate in those conversations when we push back and see how they react to it. Feedback is another one of our core competencies. So once the role play is done, we give them a bunch of tough feedback, and then we say, let's do the role play again. And we're testing to see how well they can take feedback and apply it in their work. We're looking for toughness in people because we put a lot of pressure in this environment. It's, you know, Marcus wants to excel. I want to excel. We don't want anyone else in the team that's not going to be all in and constantly improving and growing this business and doing great work for our clients. So we understand the type of environment that we are. So we're looking for a culture fit. And we're not finding that from typical agency people. We're just not. So that's actually been completely cut out of our hiring model. If you've been in a HubSpot agency, it probably is going to be much harder to get into impact. We're seeing, you know, a lot more success coming from people that come from education, believe it or not. Even if they've never been in the digital world ever before, honestly, if they are great students, they love to learn, they can obsess over the material, and they have education skills, and they're probably already great communicators because they come out of that, they're trained to do that in school, we're able to find that they can be a very effective trainer, a very effective coach in a rather short period of time. And then again, get into our system of the constant role plays, because the material is the easy part. It's the, like we were talked about, it's the working with clients is the hard part, being able to take tough clients and get them to want to be led by you. That's very, very challenging. Unfortunately, most agency folks, and here's the other thing, I teach a lot of agencies this. We often think about how good our agency is when we look at the mirror and think how good we are. Oh, we're great at selling, because the CEO is thinking, oh, I'm good at selling. Or, you know, we're great at this technical thing, right? No, it's because you are the technical, you can do that. Then when you actually step back and you look at your people and you realize, okay, I got a lot of people in my firm that are a year or two out of school. They don't even love their work. It's like, no, your agency is not great at that. You might be, but you as a firm aren't. So that's something that we all have to, you know, we have to look in the mirror a little bit and look at our firms and say, you know, are we doing, you know, is our firm actually good at this, or is it just me?
That's such good advice, because our clients of the agency oftentimes can conflate the founder, the CEO, the members of the executive team with the agency themselves. But I don't hear a lot of people saying that what you just said is we can also do that ourselves too, not just our clients. And that leads into, you know, some bad things of, oh, Bob, I thought I was going to be working with you. Why am I, you know, being relegated to this low level entry level person or something like that? But we can also fool ourselves into maybe thinking our skills are at a higher level than they are. And I love what you said there, the toughness about feedback, because it's, how can they implement the feedback? But one, how can they even handle it, right? How do they respond to it? Are they defensive? Those sorts of things. Because that shows you how coachable they are. It also shows you how are they going to react in the heat of the moment when a client gives them tough feedback. So we've alluded to it a few times. So let's go ahead and jump into a little bit more about the unique business structure you guys have now at Impact. You've got six different business units. You guys call them squads. They have each their own P&L responsibility. Tell us a little bit about how this structure came to be and what were some of the things that led you guys to this structure and how it's working now.
The model that we have, I think, is mostly influenced by two things I've come across. Neither of them really have to do anything with a marketing agency. The first one, believe it or not, is a company called Zingerman's, which is based out of Ann Arbor. And they started as a deli and they are now like 15 businesses that are all related mostly around food. They all buy and sell from each other. So they got a restaurant, they got a deli, they got a bakehouse, they do desserts, ice cream, whatever it is. And they are all 15 individually operated businesses with a managing director. When I first discovered that, I was like, that's really cool. I would love to lead a business that's like that because I could be in the seat of leading leaders and coaching leaders and helping them grow. So that was something I really, really wanted to do. I'm really proud that we have a model that's close to that right now because each of those six units has a head that owns their area of the business. Then the other thing that really influenced me, believe it or not, is Spotify. I came across a few videos on YouTube about Spotify's engineering culture. And that's where we learned about squads and chapters. And a squad has end-to-end responsibility for their area of the business. And I really do want to develop great leaders. And plus, if we have business leaders that are run their own business units, also working with clients like me, they're going to be more valuable, right? Because I've been in their shoes. I've walked where they walked. You mentioned that about Marcus before. Marcus grew a business before. He has a story to tell. So I put a lot of pressure on my people. This is your area of the business. It's actually your little business inside of our business. So that's the way it's set up. They have all the talent they need inside a squad to run it as if it's own business, end to end, meaning that they have to generate their own leads, do their own sales, do their own service delivery. It's self-managed. So they're doing their own project management, time off. Somebody leaves the team. They're running their own hiring process. 5 to 7 people on a team, end to end responsibilities. And I also believe, you know, we learned from Amazon, the 2-pizza rule, that if teams get too big, it's hard to manage. So I like that sweet spot of around 7 people. We can feed them with 2 pizzas. Our biggest team, I think, is 11 people, but I don't want to go beyond that. I'd rather have 2 teams that do the same exact thing with 2 different managing directors and their own books of business. So the 6 different teams that we have 3 coaching and training teams. All pretty identical. They all do the same similar, they ask you answer coaching and training services. Generally the same headcount, generally the same team composition. Then we have our web team, which is about 11 people. We have a paid media team that is 5 people. And then a newer area of our business, which is where we train agencies on communication principles and they ask me answer so they can bring they ask me answer to their clients. So it's our own little partner channel that we're building. And that team is about 4 people.
That's really interesting to me that it's been interesting for me in the last 7 months or so, stepping into a partnerships role at Teamwork. Sorry for the sidebar, but just seeing agencies start to consult with and for other agencies is not something that I pictured going into it. I came from, you know, being an agency leader myself for about 4 years with a podcast production agency and thinking about like, what is the ecosystem in and around agencies? And there are folks that have always done the consulting and training and, you know, the financial folks who focus on helping agencies, which a lot of folks in those seats do really great work. But it's interesting to me to hear yet another example of an agency who is spinning off something or bringing something under their roof to train and coach other agencies in certain areas. I've seen other folks like Nicole Pereira at Remotish start to advise on remote culture and time management across a distributed agency with Culturish that kind of came out of her work in an agency running Remotish. And so anyway, just quick sidebar, but I think that's something for agencies to be thinking about. But back to, you know, the main topic at hand, I think one of the main things in agency life is not only do sometimes we have folks who are fresh, they're green in their career, and we ask them to not only do this work for clients, but to communicate about the work to clients. The third challenge that we set them up for is that they don't have the business acumen. They don't understand the full context of a business. They're trying to say things, even if they really understand inbound marketing and this piece of it, they don't understand how it fits. And if they do, yeah, that can really change their position, their authority, and their effectiveness with clients. So I would just say, I wanted to call out what you said there for other folks, even if they're not, you know, dedicating the lion's share of their business to consulting work like you guys are. I think that same principle applies no matter what work you're doing within an agency.
Yeah. And, you know, if you don't want to be in a role where you're touching multiple areas of growing a business, Impact's not the place for you. But if you do want to learn how to grow a business and be able to teach other people how to grow a business better, this might be the perfect place for you. But, you know, we teach everyone in our company financials. We talk about how important is growing revenue. We talk about strategies and how to grow revenue. How do we retain that revenue? How do we optimize the P&L? Why does profit matter so much? What do we do with profit? We try to do things where we can share profit with the employees as well so that they have a stake in the game as well. So I really truly believe that if we have, you know, an entire organization where 65 people, we're all thinking about growing the business in the same way, that there's no gaps in information. It's not like, all right, Bob and the leadership team know all the numbers and all the information. And then it's like, no, you just got to go do the work. They're not going to make great decisions all the time because they're not going to have all the information. So not only do I want them to have that, but I want them managing that. I want them feeling it. I want them learning what it's like to be in my shoes or where I was when I was starting Impact and we only had, you know, 5 employees. It's only going to make them more valuable. You know, it's stressful for some employees, especially when they are pushing to hit a number. They've got a goal that they have to hit and they're working towards it. But at the end of the day, once they figure it out, now they're more valuable. And so
And they're more empathetic to clients who are feeling that same pressure. They have a number to hit, whether that's the business owner of the, you know, plumbing company you guys serve, or whether it's, you know, a VP of marketing that they're serving who's responsible for their number inside a SaaS company. It doesn't matter. And so I just think that it's so important. However we can instill that business acumen that leads to authority and empathy among our teams to help them better serve clients. And I think you guys have developed a really great model to be able to do that. So Bob, before we get to our fast five and our closing shout out that you want to give to someone who's impacted your life, your agency life journey, tell us a little bit about Impact Plus and that strategy, what you think other agencies can learn from that. It's basically a combination of content and community with, I believe, kind of a freemium model, and it drives a lot of new business development for your consulting work. What are some of the things that you guys have found there? What do you think other agencies can learn from that in addition to all the great knowledge bombs you've dropped on us already, man?
You know, when we started doing our events, Impact Live 17, 18, and then we did in 2019, it was growing and growing. And then, of course, the pandemic hit. But we had 500 people there, and it was really the They Ask You Answer event in 2019. So you had all these clients coming together that have all been trained by Marcus or trained by our team and all really bought into it. And they were loving it, and they were engaging with each other, and there was magic there. So we realized that we need to do more with this. We need to bring this community together on a more regular basis. So the original name for Impact Plus was going to be Impact Live 365, because it was our conference like around the clock, right? Whenever you wanted it. I still like that name better, I think. But we ended up going with Impact Plus because, you know, why not? Hulu Plus, everyone had a plus. So we went with Impact Plus. And again, originally, I think, you know, I had the same mindset you're saying. It was, let's do a freemium model. Let's get people in. We'll use this as a lead generator for us. And it does generate leads, but we actually found it's better for retention, and it actually makes our coaching and consulting product significantly better because clients can now go a little bit more at their own pace. So Impact Plus has, you know, probably at this point, 60 different courses that you can take, and they're all really deep, robust courses. So a lot of our clients will go into Impact Plus and they'll binge the courses. So it gives them that ability to go at their own pace, but it's also a place for, you know, people that are doing the Ask and Answer, whether working with us or not, to go ask questions. And they're not asking our team the questions, they're asking each other, which is making the community stickier, it's making Impact stickier, and actually giving us less to do, making us more efficient. You know, another aha moment is we started doing more mastermind groups. We actually built that into the core product, which we call the Ask Your Answer Mastery. It's our coaching and training product. But what we ended up doing is we take a bunch of clients that are all going through a similar training, and we'll do group trainings. And we actually found that the clients like that more. They get more value out of it. Somebody will ask a question. Another client will answer and say, we had the same exact thing. And then our trainers are sitting back there watching, and their job is so easy, and they're watching the magic happen right in front of them. And then the clients are saying, this is the best training we ever had. And it happens inside the Impact Plus platform. So it's the whole idea, again, was originally to bring in new business, and it still does that to a certain extent. You know, people will say, okay, we want to do the Ask and Answer, not ready for coaching and training. We're going to try it on our own. So we're going to sign up for Impact Plus. They'll do either the free version, and when they're ready, they'll upgrade to the annual version for, you know, $700 a year or whatever it might be. Then there's also a business membership, and that usually will then lead into a full consulting agreement at some point.
I love that story you just shared of the trainer kind of sitting back and the clients going back and forth of, you know, what about this? Oh, this, oh, this is the greatest training. It's amazing because, as you said, it makes you more efficient because you don't have to answer every question. The clients, sometimes, for as much as we've talked about training your consultants within the agency to be authoritative, to push back, to communicate and drive accountability, sometimes they're still going to take it to heart a little bit more when it's directly from their peers. Right. And also every relationship that they make in that community and every relationship that goes deeper in those masterminds, whenever they get value from that, even if it happens on dark social, as they say these days, out somewhere else that you don't see, there's something subliminally where they're tying that value, that experience and that relationship where they're getting something ongoing back to Impact. Cause that's where they met. I mean, it's just like, you know, someone gets up and gives a toast and who was it that introduced the bride and the groom way back when, because they sent one text or whatever. So I think there's a parallel for us if we think about our client base as an agency in that same way. Well, Bob, this has been fantastic. I think that whether, you know, agency owners have been hesitant about consulting work or making a full pivot into a consulting firm, there's a lot of tactical stuff that you've shared that I think agency leaders can take to heart. Consider longer term agreements. Think about what has worked and how can you turn that into a framework and communicate on it? How can you coach your folks to drive accountability with clients? And how can you focus in on that skill set? As you said, it's easier said than done, but if you're not focused on it, you can't expect them to have the same sorts of conversations with clients. And I love what you said about your folks go through as much training on communication and client management as they do on the marketing, on those frameworks, right? Well, Bob, it is time for our Fast Five, and then we'll give you an opportunity. We always want to pay it forward and give you the chance to give a shout out to someone who's impacted your agency life. You ready for the Fast Five?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's say you had 10 grand a month extra to just put into the business somewhere, no strings attached. Where do you think you would allocate that sudden infusion of extra budget?
Well, I don't need to be adding on anything new. We have enough new things we've started. I would probably put that into some kind of incentive program for the staff.
I love that answer. That's one I haven't heard yet. What are a few of your favorite all-time books, either business books or things that have impacted your journey in running an agency?
My favorite book probably of all time, BE 2.0. It's a Jim Collins book. It's his first book and then also his newest book. So he did a second edition of his first book with everything from Good to Great, Great by Choice. So every book, highly recommended for everyone to read it. We did a book club with pretty much all the leaders at Impact. And we went chapter by chapter, took us about a year. We talked about how all these concepts apply at Impact. We loved this so much, we started right back over from chapter one. So I would highly recommend that book for anyone.
I love that. Bob, what's one mistake you've made in running Impact that you'll never forget?
I made so many mistakes. First off, I think mistakes are great because, you know, if you're not making mistakes, you're not learning. And if you're not learning, you're not growing. And the same thing is true for your employees. If you don't let them make mistakes, you get mad at them for making mistakes, they're never going to grow. I know everything I know from the mistakes I've made. You got to let your employees make mistakes too. I would say last year would be, maybe I have recency bias. We had a really good start to the year last year. And I thought numbers were only going to go up and up. I thought we hit a stride. So I staffed up and I hired a whole bunch of coaches that I knew were going to need time to develop. Economy kind of took a hit and things didn't play out quite like I thought they were going to. And I had to let some people go. And some of those people were last in, first out. And I addressed the entire company. I said, I'd be overstaffed. And that was on me.
Well, hey, I appreciate you talking about it. There's probably a whole other podcast episode we could talk about in how to avoid those situations, how to deal with them, because in some cases they might be completely unforeseen. You know, we've been through a global pandemic in the last several years that no one saw coming, right? So, I love the point that you made about making failure acceptable to a degree within your agency, because if not, you're going to hinder the growth and learning. All right, final two questions, and they're the favorite of mine of our Fast Five. Number four, what's the hardest part about agency life in your opinion, Bob?
The hardest part about agency life, you know, I've gotten better at compartmentalizing and separating, but I think everything's so fast moving. And, you know, I care about the people I work with so much. I care about the work, and there's so many different things that you can dive into. It's hard to turn off. So I think, you know, so I'll wake up at like 4 a.m. and I'm going from like one area of the business to another area of the business. I'm just trying to like fall back asleep, but my mind's constantly going. I would say that's probably the hardest part for me.
Yeah. All right. Well, other side to that same coin, what would you say is the best part of agency life for you?
The people I get to work with every single day, without a doubt. But whether it's the right thing or the wrong thing, all my best friends work for Impact because we're in the foxhole together. We get to do this together. And a lot of us have worked together now for 10 years plus. Have become my absolute best friends in the whole world. We understand each other. We get each other. So the fact that I get to wake up every morning and see all their faces, it's the best part of my day.
Shared experiences create some really strong bonds, shared failures too. So just to tie that into something you mentioned earlier. All right. As we wrap it up, Bob, who's someone either personally or maybe a virtual mentor, doesn't matter, but who's impacted your agency life for the better in some form or fashion that you would shout out, maybe you would encourage other people to follow?
There's so many. I'm going to pick somebody that has had a massive impact in my career, my organization, that maybe not everyone here would know. It's a gentleman named Jack Carroll. He's based out of California. He was a sales mentor for us, but much more than that. He worked hand in hand with a lot of our employees during the transition years too. We're going from being an agency to become more of a consultancy. He worked directly with our staff, directly with myself. And it is just an absolute blessing. Any agency has a chance to hire him to work on building their sales area of the business, but also a lot around client communication. He's very underrated and not a lot of people know about him, but he's absolutely the best. So his name is Jack Carroll.
I love that. Well, Bob, this has been fantastic conversation. Thank you for the time today. I want to encourage anybody listening to this, connect with Bob if you're not connected with him on LinkedIn. Check out impactplus.com. You can see a little bit of what we're talking about there. And then I guess the third thing that might be helpful for listeners, you mentioned some of the work you guys are doing to consult with agencies to help them instill those communication styles and the ability to drive accountability with clients. What's maybe one place you would recommend folks, you know, find a resource or two on that front?
Yeah, and the client communication training is all part of our certified coaching program. So if you go onto our website and you see certifications, and you'll see the certified coaching program right there, and you can learn all about it.
I love it. Well, Bob, thank you so much for your time today. This has been a great conversation. I appreciate you sharing, you know, the pivotal moment and then the lessons from there as you guys continue with your agency life there at Impact.
My pleasure, Logan. Thanks for having me on, bud.
You've been listening to Agency Life, and we hope you've been enjoying each and every episode. If so, you've probably got a friend who'd find the show valuable as well. Sharing a podcast with someone in your network is an easy way to add value and show someone that you're thinking about them. Somebody probably came to mind for you just now. Go ahead, shoot them a text with something like, "Hey, I've been listening to Agency Life, and I think you'd like this episode I was just listening to." They'll probably really appreciate it, and hey, we will too. And if you're looking for even more content to support your agency life journey, check out teamwork.com/agency life. There you can search through past episodes, get access to the Agency Life newsletter, and find additional video content to support and inspire you as you continue on this crazy roller coaster ride that is agency life.